This is not a test. This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge sanctioned by the U.S. government.
Because I just went gay all of a sudden!
Weapons of class 4 and lower have been authorized for use during the purge.
There is no racial bigotry. Here you are all equally worthy.
All other weapons are restricted. Government officials of ranking 10 have been granted immunity from the purge and shall not be harmed.
You can act like a man! What's the matter with you?
Blessed be our new founding fathers and America, a nation reborn.
Welcome. You guys finding it like Marco, you're working and stuff, but so maybe yes. This is more towards Thomas, but are you finding it harder and harder to get up at like a reasonable, respectable hour in the morning now that's been like months and months of
Yeah, so I woke up today to do the podcast and I like it was quarter to eight and I'm like, oh, it's so early.
Yeah, right? It's like, I mean, look, we keep ourselves busy to have projects and stuff, but without that prime drive of I have to get up to go to the gym and then go to work, or I have to get up to go to work, or I have to get up to get the kids ready and then go to school, and it's just like it's getting harder and harder, and it's like I find myself getting lazier and lazier, so I got to kind of get on myself about that.
Well, it is March 187th.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's getting ridiculous.
Yeah. In theory, that sounds lovely, but I have a 1 and a 3-year-old, so I'm still getting the fuck up at 6:45 in the morning.
That's right.
Up. So, like, it's basically it's hurry up. I'm working now, so I got to drop them off at school and daycare. But when we were on lockdown, it was hurry up for nothing. It was like get up, you know, get her changed, get breakfast started for both of them, and then he would come downstairs. And change the, change diapers, you know, get them all set up. And then basically, okay, so let's color today. Let's watch your favorite shows. No, you can't watch.
We're all in the military. It's hurry up and wait right now.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is Matt being in the production business of movie and TV, you can attest to the fact that the military and the production business are both hurry up and wait.
Oh, hurry up and wait and overpriced.
Well, that's true too. Yeah, one does things for with the lowest bidder and the other one does it for the highest bidder.
Yeah, right.
Oh, geez. Well, we're here for this week's midweek episode, the War Stories Locker Room podcast.
Yeah.
All right. And again, we're all here virtually in different parts of the country. John, again, is not able to be with us, but we have Matt and Marco back. And Matt has decided, by the way, if you hear a howling, I have a Siberian Husky puppy. And if you've never had one, they're just the whiniest bastards in the whole. Like,
oh, yeah. They like to talk.
Sweet, but they're talkers. So I apologize if you hear our puppy in the background. But hey, we figured during the lockdown was the best time to get a puppy because dad's home to potty train it and the kids don't know what the hell they're doing. So I'm in charge of training the dog. This week, Matt decided we, in an effort to bring you new topics, new interesting ideas, and new discussions, we're going to let a different person pick the topic every week, whether it's a listener who picks it or one of us. And sometimes the topic will be a total surprise because the person picking the topic is going to say something like, no, 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 I want like your raw, natural, on the spot opinion. And then some of them you're going to want us to research. So we'll know the topic in advance and we'll look it up and we'll have some real discussion about it. That's not just like off the cuff reaction. So this week, what do you have for us, Matt?
So this week, I wanted to talk about the taboo topic of the words alpha male and beta male and what they mean, what we think they mean, what we think other people think they mean, and just kind of, you know, kind of bounce around that. For those that are watching the video, I figured this was the perfect shirt to wear. It says alpha male and the M is an upside down trident. And, it's a clothing line from a Navy SEAL who's also an MMA fighter. So,
you know, and I think the Navy SEAL part makes him scarier than the MMA part.
Yeah. Because he was on the teams for 10 years. Like, that was his job.
So. And for the listeners who aren't like military versed or don't understand military culture, if somebody says the teams, that means Navy SEALs, period, end of story. There is no other the teams, unless like maybe there's some sort of European version. And if we have European listeners or UK listeners or Australia listeners, if you have the phrase the teams and it relates to anything other than Navy SEALs, please let us know, because I'm very interested.
Yeah, now I'm curious too.
For us in the U.S., the teams refers to nothing but anybody who's a member of the U.S. Navy SEALs. So
yeah,
if you hear us say the teams or you hear somebody say that, that's what it means.
So so I wanted to kind of talk about the shirt first and how if I were to wear this out on the streets, the immediate perception would be douchebag. That guy's a douchebag because you're wearing a shirt that says alpha male. Now I got it. It's a workout shirt. I wear it when I work out, but it was brought to my attention by several people that, oh my God, you're not going to wear that because you look like a douchebag. And it got me thinking, why? What is wrong with identifying as an alpha male? And I think that it in society now, especially in the political climate that we're in now with the generation beneath us now, when someone says alpha male or refers themselves as an alpha, immediately they're thought of as overbearing, violent, imposing their will on others. And this brash, you know, douchebag person. You think of the stereotypical, you know, beefcake, slick back hair, tan, you know, lives at the gym.
The guy who 10 years ago wore an Affliction shirt.
Right. You know, the guy who's constantly, you know, talking down about women, just this misogynistic prick. And that's unfortunately what what are you smiling about?
Because remember, I think Marco was smiling about what our whole thing used to be.
Oh yeah.
If you wore an Affliction shirt, we could just walk up to you and challenge you to a fight on the street, and you would have to. Like, if you're going to wear an Affliction shirt, you better put up or shut up.
Yeah, I think that should still be the case. That or a tap out shirt, or
that or a tap out shirt. Yeah. Yeah, it's like a Bruce Lee. They stomp your feet a couple times. And that just means like it's on and cracking.
It's on, and you better. I get one of two things. If you're wearing an Affliction or a tap out shirt, and I challenge you to a fight, you have to either fight me or give me the shirt.
Yeah, like right then and there, take it off. You just lost the shirt.
You just lost that shirt. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So I just wanted to, you know, kind of get your guys' input on the whole alpha versus beta male. And when someone says a beta male, what that means to you guys. So I wanted to give my take on an alpha male, and then let's bounce around and kind of, you know, ping pong off that.
Would you like Webster's or the Oxford language definition?
Yeah. Pick one as it pertains to humans, because we all know that it, you know, derives from the animal kingdom. But
so, according to the Oxford Language Dictionary, an alpha male is a man tending to assume a dominant or domineering role in social or professional situations. That is an alpha male. Now, a beta male, according to Oxford, is a man tending to assume a passive or subservient role in social or professional situations. Explanation or example is, quote, there's nothing macho about him. He's a total beta male. Now, I've got an issue with that example right then and there.
But I'm like, if basically that description says, if you're a bitch, you're a bitch. So you can be, man, that description is so blank. It's basically like, hey, if you're an introvert, you're a bitch.
Okay. So you give us your take, and then we'll jump in.
Okay.
This is your
take. So my take on being an alpha male has nothing to do with deliberate aggression or being domineering, as the textbook definition you just read. Alphas, just like if you want to relate it to the animal kingdom, they are in charge of protecting theirs. They're the protectors. They're the ones that step up when need to be violent. You know, I think we're all, calm, peaceful men, but we have that capability of violence.
You're talking about
directed.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it's directed properly, you know, like the whole, you know, the sheep, wolf, sheepdog,
right.
You know, scenario. Right. So for me, an alpha male is somebody who is an alpha, first of all, in their own life. You don't shy away from adversities. You go after what you want. You're compassionate towards others. You're protective of others who can't be protective of themselves. And basically that just kind of sums it up for me. It's somebody who, yes, you have no problem stepping into a leadership role when it's needed, but you're not going into a situation constantly being overbearing and imposing your will on others. That's a dick. That's not an alpha male. That's a dick, you know? But I think that, lately the term alpha male really has got cast in a bad light and is only associated with, you know, are there alpha males that are also douchebags and bad people? Of course. Are there beta males that are douchebags and bad people? Of course. But I think for me personally, when I refer to the term alpha male, that's what I think. That's what comes to mind is, first of all, compassion, leadership, strength, but not in that domineering, overbearing, you know, douchebag approach.
I think that in itself is where the line gets blurred. You know, it's like you can argue that a wolf, in the sense, obviously, what we're talking about, the difference between the sheepdog and the wolf. You can argue that a wolf is an alpha male. You know, and obviously, and so is the sheepdog. It's just, do you use your powers for good or do you use your powers for your bad? And I think that's where things get blurred. It's like there's a trait, those traits that you're talking about, it is in both, except for the protection of the whole, you know, pack. But even then, if you're a wolf, you protect your own, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
To your own version, to an degree. I mean, generally speaking, this is the same type of person that would go ahead and, like, you know, beat on his own wife, or, you know, or turn against his own at any point in time. So I guess you can argue that a lot, and that's where I think the line gets blurred, is that, let me put it this way, a couple bad apples spoil it for the bunch, you know, because those traits are presented in both of those. In the,
as a retired in the police wolf. Officer, I feel all of that statement.
You know what? And that's a perfect. And what you're saying right now is a perfect example. You know, like, you know, the police officers. I'll use this very loosely. Police dogs are supposed to be all sheep wolves. Excuse me, all sheep dogs, right? They're supposed to be all sheep dogs, but there are wolves that feel like that
in sheep dog clothing.
Yeah, there are wolves in sheep's clothing, and they feel that because they have those, they peg on those traits, they hit on those traits that should be a perfect lineup for them. That should be a perfect line of a professional, you know, professional environment for them. But they lack that, what you would say, that professionalism, those ethics is what's missing, you know. But right. The rest of the traits, the being assertive, that being dominant. And I'm talking about dominant in general statement, right? The fight or flight, you know, they're willing to fight before flight, you know, those, they hit, unfortunately, there's a lot of the traits that line up. There's a lot of, there's only, where the distinction between the sheep and the sheepdog and the sheep and the wolf, there's a lot more things that are missing off the columns. You know, if you do three columns, there's a lot more things missing off the sheep. There's a lot less things missing between the wolf and the sheepdog. And I think that's where you get what you're saying, Matt. I agree with you, bro. Like, I agree with you 110% that I wish there was more of a clear divide. But unfortunately, because you do have just those few points that are the differences, it's not until somebody crosses those lines that you're able to realize whether they're just a sheepdog or whether they're a wolf. And you're like, oh, that motherfucker's a piece of shit, you know? Yeah. But unfortunately,
Go ahead, finish off.
In a general walking sense, it's a duck. It quacks like a duck. It walks like a duck, you know, until that one extra thing happens and you're like, oh, that's not just, you know, a leader. That's a piece of shit. That's a leader. Right. That's a piece of shit. So I'm sorry, Matt, you're saying.
Yeah, no. And I was thinking as far as if, you know, you strip it down to the wolf versus the sheepdog, you know, outsize, they both, you know, look similar. They have the same, you know, equipment as far as teeth and whatnot, but then you get down towards intent and one has a propensity towards violence and one is that's all that knows that wolf is going to go, you know, attack the sheep and the sheepdog is passive and hanging out with the sheep until the teeth need to come out and it needs to protect his own. But I think in a broader sense of the whole alpha, you know, mentality, cause there's going to be an alpha wolf in that wolf pack.
Sure.
That's, you know, the job of the alpha wolf, which funny enough, when I was doing some research, come to find out when you see a bunch of wolves, you know, walking in a line in their pack, the alpha's in the back, which I thought was interesting. The alpha wolf is in the back of the pack, keeping pace with everyone. And they put the older, you know, the elder wolves up front and they kind of follow that pace. And the alpha's just on the back, kind of doing overwatch and looking at the whole group, which makes sense because if you're going to lead, you know, there's the whole lead from the front, but if you're too far out front, you can't see what the fuck's going on behind you. So how can you protect what's behind you?
Not to mention you can't see what's going on in the pack.
Correct. Yeah. You can't keep an eye on the pack and keep everybody in check.
So I'll add a little wrinkle to this. Okay. We've all heard of, he's a type A personality or she's a type A personality or he's a type B personality. Okay. So let's see if this sounds familiar. A type A personality, highly competitive, works fast, strong desire to succeed, likes control, prone to suffer stress. A type B characteristic or personality is non-competitive, works more slowly, lacks in a desire to succeed, does not enjoy control, and less prone to stress. It just so happens that type A personalities, what do you say in the Greek alphabet for A?
Alpha. I'm going to go with alpha.
And what do you say for B?
Beta. Yeah.
So I would argue that there's alpha females and alpha males, and there's beta females and there's beta males. My wife, hardcore alpha female.
Same here. My
Oh, she has this shirt that I bought her, and you know, shout out to Grunt Style. I got her the Grunt Style shirt that's the it's bubblegum pink, total girly color, and it has a, you know, mock-up or a you know, a send-up of the Hawaiian Punch logo. So it has the flower and it has the font and all that.
I know which shirt
you know exactly what shirt I got her, Matt. Instead of saying Hawaiian Punch, it says Throat Punch. Yeah. And there's a picture of a fist right next to the text. And she loves wearing it out because of the dirty, nasty, sideways looks other women give her and the looks from men where the men go, all right, that's a bad bitch. I like her. You know, and she takes pride in that. Now, my wife's not a dick. Well, I mean, you know, like any wife, we get into fights, but like you were saying, you know, alpha males, you know, oh, you're a dick, you're a douchebag. No, she's none of those things. Right. She's just in a group of women, she will tend to assert herself and her opinions more than, say, some of the others who are more passive and sit in the back. That's the same thing with guys. It's just, I think you tend to find more alpha or type A personalities because of just testosterone alone, probably, in the male gender as opposed to the, yes, male gender. Oh my God, I said it. As opposed
one of the two that are out there.
Yeah. What's that old joke? Name the genders. Well, first there's men. You're halfway there. but you know, I don't think being an alpha, being a guy that's tends to want to take control, tends to want to lead, tends to want to, you know, assert their opinion, You know, that's not a bad thing. It like you said, it's how you use your powers, how you direct those energies. But not every situation is going to require like an alpha. So if there's a situation or a circumstance where somebody who is less prone to stressing out and less prone to competitiveness and all that stuff like that, you know, you're going to end up with somebody who's more of a beta that needs to be there. If that, I guess, makes sense, because it's based on your personality type for the job that's happening.
Right, right. And there is a place in the world for betas. And being a beta male, not that any of us are one, it's not inherently a bad thing either. Because can you imagine a world full of alphas? Who's going to follow? Who's going to lead? That's another thing, that the whole beta, always a beta cuck or whatever, is, you know, is the new thing that that everybody's calling each other.
And a cuck is a whole other.
Yeah, but I was just combining the two. but he's such a beta. Is typically when you hear someone say that. Well, like Marco, what do you hear if I were to say, yeah, that guy Jason, man, he's just such a fucking beta. Like, what do you think I'm telling you by saying that? In your opinion.
Automatically, I think that he is more of a not a bitch, but he's more of a follower, more of, right, just kind of is quiet, doesn't take initiative,
right?
You know, he's the one who, whether he has an opinion or not, he's not going to be the one to share and input into the group, which is hard, because I always say, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. That's just, you know, being a manager at work for, you know, being a leader at work for as long as I've been, that's just what I've adopted. So when somebody tells me if somebody's a beta, then I don't have time to coddle people personally, but I understand that I have to pay attention more. I may have to pay attention more to their silent needs.
Yeah.
We have to read the facial expressions or the physical demeanor a little bit more. So that's, I mean, personally speaking, in my day to day, that's what I get from it. You know, somebody that I'm gonna have to, not necessarily to watch my back for, they're gonna scheme or anything like that, but just somebody who may need to be, I need to pay attention to a little bit more, because they're not gonna be as vocal. You know, they're not gonna be as present. They're not gonna take charge as much as you may want them to or expect them to. That's what I get from it.
Right. And then I think, go ahead, Tom.
No, I was just going to say, it's interesting because the way you're saying it, and I've said this for years, but it goes back to something we said on the very first episode of this new Locker Room podcast, which is intent. If you say he's such a fucking beta, right, or a beta cuck, you're intending it as an insult, because your intent is, that guy's a puss. That guy's a piece of shit. That guy has no leadership qualities. He has no spine. He's pusillanimous. Whatever you want to say, if that's how you mean it. But if you mean in a positive situation, hey, he's the right guy to send in because he's a beta. He's not going to get his feathers ruffled. He'll blend in well. You know,
right.
I think how you use the term is just as important as the term itself, because the term, George Carlin always said, it's not the word. There's no bad words. There's just bad thoughts and bad intentions, right? So it goes back to intent. If you take beta as an insult, then maybe you should look at why you're insulted by it. And if you say beta as an insult, maybe you should look at who you're saying it to and ask if it really applies as an insult or not.
Well, right? There is a place in the world for the betas, like Marco, like what you were just saying, that, you know, if you know somebody is a beta that you're in charge of, you know, they're not going to take that initiative, but also they're going to be more prone to follow the alpha and to, you know, take direction, because they don't have that initiative on their own. They need to be told. They don't need to be coddled. They just need to be, you know, directed. I need you to do A, B, C, D, and E, and then come back to me.
Yeah.
And then they'll go off and do A, B, C, D, and E, and then come back and, okay, what's next? What's next? Which isn't a bad thing. The world needs those people. They need the worker bees that are just okay with getting their marching orders, going and doing it, but they're getting the marching orders from the alphas. And, right. you know, like you said, with the intent, as long as you're not an asshole douchebag alpha, that doesn't mean you always have to, you know, talk down to the betas or slam the betas, but there's, you know, there's a place in the world for them.
Well, in a military unit, somebody's got to carry messages to and from. Somebody's got to be the adjutant. Somebody's got to work the radio. Somebody's got to be the medic. Not everybody can be the saw gunner out, you know, laying down belts of suppressive fire, or not everybody can right. be the recon team that's, you know, sneaking in. And everybody has a role to play. Everybody has a job. A good leader, whether it's male or female, whether it's you know, a project manager at a company, or a you know, platoon leader, or a regimental, you know, commander or whatever, every leader needs to identify the strengths and weaknesses of their staff, their crew, their team. And once they do that, you take the betas and you send them to where they need to be. You put them where they need to go. That's part of leadership. And I guess being a good alpha is identifying the strengths and weaknesses of your crew.
Right, right. Yeah, agreed.
And learning how to motivate. You know, the right. good thing about me, the one of the best qualities of some of the people that I've been mentored by as far as leadership is concerned is being able to recognize the strengths and the weaknesses of everybody and know how to motivate everybody individually in order to get the task done for the greater good.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's, I think, going back, you know, circling back to the start of this, that's that right there, I would say, is the biggest difference between a wolf and a sheepdog, or the douchebag, you know, we'll say Dick versus Tom, you know.
Sometimes you same know, thing, sometimes not.
You know, it's right, same. Different, but same. I think that right there is the biggest difference when you're talking about an alpha douchebag and just an alpha male. You know, an alpha male will be able to recognize the weaknesses and the strengths within his pack, you know, and be able to do what's needed to motivate, move forward, help, not help, you know, even if it's sit there and watch the person fall on their face so they learn the hard way, or actually get involved and help the person up, versus the fuck, you're not fucking worth it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll just do this shit on my own, blah, 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 blah. We've all worked with those people. We've all been around those type of people that just degrade, demean, and just, you know, I'll just do it myself because, you know, I can't count on anybody. Like, well, you know, that's the way you want to be about it, and that's the way you want to be about it.
But, well, and you bring up a good point, because there's learning styles, and a good teacher understands that there are different learning styles. If you have a lazy alpha, and you look at him and you know that dude is fully capable of taking the most bare minimum of instructions, and he's smart enough and driven enough that I can just say, I need you to go over there and unfuck that. And trust them to go do that. That's great. Yep. But if you say that to somebody whose learning style is not that, and you just yell at them for doing that, then you're a bad leader, because you could have very easily said, okay, here's how I want you to unfuck that mess over there, and these are the steps you need to follow. This is what you need to do it. Once it's done, come let me know. And they'll do it, because they're capable of doing that level of, you know, direction, as opposed to somebody who is not. And knowing the difference is another big part of leadership. Which I think being an alpha comes down to leadership, because alphas tend to want to lead. They want to take charge. It's the kid that takes over the group project for your English class, as opposed to a beta who's the kid who, if the other kids fuck off, the beta will do the whole project by himself and make sure he gets a good grade, even if that means the other kids get the good grade as well.
Right, right. And just like if there's like a, you know, whenever you're in a situation with some unknowns, there's a group. It could be for a variety of reasons, a new unit in the military or within the police force, or just even in a crew or some sort of fun project or even a game. And you're tasked with, you hear, okay, I need somebody to lead this group. And you'll notice that the alphas are going to be the ones that will immediately, oh, it's me, you know, immediately step up, not out of arrogance, just, but that's your, you know, that's your, That's how you're wired. You're a leader, and you're confident in your own abilities, and you know that, yeah, I can do this, or at least I'm going to try to do this. And that brings me to another thing I wanted to talk about. And then I have to go get a power source because I'm about to die.
No, let's have you go get a power source real quick, and we'll come right back.
Okay, yeah, take 2 seconds. 2 seconds. Talks amongst yourselves.
So you have power now.
Yes, now I have power. Yes, I was having technical issues this morning with computers, so I had to do it on my phone, and this whole video thing kind of zaps the battery.
Actually, as is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so why is, and I think this is manufactured, I'm kind of telegraphing my opinion. The question is, why is a alpha male looked at as a douchebag, and why is a beta male looked at as a weak sister by alpha males?
Go ahead, Marco.
Basic categories. I have an accent, people. I am South American. You don't hear it all the time unless I try to say fancy words like refrigerator and Saturday. So, it goes down to being able to process it the fastest by the weakest masses. You know, we always say, and we said it 100 times, about 1,000 times in the original podcast, never underestimate the power of stupid people in large quantities. Mm-hmm. And when a situation like this, you're dealing with the easiest way to categorize it. And if you start putting subcategories, for example, like music, why can't we just have rock and metal? Why do we have to have like dark metal, dark age metal, and progressive metal? And like, you know, and this is fucking metal. You know, it's fucking rock and it's fucking metal, right? It's the same kind of thing. It's like people, it's easier to just go associate, oh, alpha, boom, douchebag, as opposed to getting down to the nitty gritty, getting down to like about this person, and don't have to be as guarded. It's sad. It sucks. It's bullshit. But
I think there's an element of which category are you in that will affect how you view the other category.
I was going to bring that up. Yeah.
Because I think if you're a beta, you tend to feel, unless you're secure, and this goes down to just being secure with who you are and not giving a shit. If you're a beta who's like, hey, I don't stress out. Those damn alphas, they stress out. I don't worry. You know, they're like, they're trying to get it shit done all fast. I take my time. I do a good job. You know, if you're comfortable with your personality type, then I don't think it matters. But it's when you feel domineered, or when you feel subservient to, or when you feel picked up, like it's junior high shit. If you still aren't comfortable with the fact that you're a relaxed kind of person who goes along to get along. I got a great buddy of mine, and we all joke around because we're all like type A personalities, and he's totally like, nah, it's cool. And he's an army vet, and he's laid back, chill, like go along to get along, all that kind of stuff. IT guy in the army, has a good job as an IT guy now. Nobody looks down on him for it. That's just his personality. And when you need somebody that's just going to be calm and cool, you know, you can call him. When you need somebody that's going to be high strung and motivate, let's go, 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 you call me.
And then what about, let me know if I'm shifting gears too much, but I kind of wanted to talk about that interesting dynamic when you have more than one alpha in a situation, and so Marco just went, ooh, like, ooh, that could be, but it doesn't always have to be, because I think the conflict comes when there's two alphas, three alphas, whatever, two alphas in a group of 10. I think the conflict would arise when one of those alphas really is just a douchebag and wants to be in charge of all butt heads, because a real alpha, you know, type A personality, let's just, for sake of argument, Thomas and I are both alphas, and we're in a situation where we have to get something done with a group of another dozen people. We would work cohesively together building off of each other's strengths, right, filling for each other's weaknesses as alphas, because that's what an alpha would do. Now, if I was the douchebag alpha, I would take everything that he says as an attack on me, and he just wants to do it his way, and why can't I just do it my way? So I think it's the whole alpha beta thing is inherently flawed, because people are just going to judge you, you know, if you're going to judge off that one situation and just assume someone's an alpha because they're a douchebag could be inherently wrong as well.
Well, it's also the individual character, the individual traits themselves of the alpha, and which one you perceive, which one you exude the most. So you can be an alpha that is a natural leader, meaning that you motivate people, and that's like your number one trait as an alpha. You can have an alpha that is the protector, is the mama or the papa bear. You know, when it comes down to like my wife is very much a mama bear. She's sweet and kind. You guys know her very well. She's very sweet and kind. And for the most part, she's very outspoken as far as her opinion are concerned, but not to the point where she's going to shove them to anyone's throat. But she's going to have mild conversations, and she's going to come up almost like a beta until you disrespect anyone that she holds even a slight interest to, or she feels like somebody is wronged around her. Then I'll see her get up and grab a chair and go throw it. I'm like, well, you're pregnant. Stop.
That sounds like a true story.
Yeah,
that is a very true story.
And going back to that, I think that there's this common misconception with the quote alpha male or just alpha personality that they're like that all the time, that you're always just this, you know, go, 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 hard charging, my way or the highway, I'm in charge, fall in or shut up, you know, and right, that's not the case. That's again, know, that's a douchebag.
There's one trait that I've noticed that if you're an alpha and you have this this one trait is your forward, for lack of this better description, your forward trait is the competitive trait. You may not be too overbearing most of the time. You may not be physically imposing. We'll say that, right? You will not be physically imposing on others. But there is the one specific trait that if you're an alpha and you're over competitive with any other of alphas or betas around you, and we know somebody that was in our group for a very, very, very long time. And if you think back at every time there was some kind of an incident or having to have a calming talk with him or anything of the sort, it had to do with the fact that he's just so over competitive. And so I have this now, and I want to show you how much better this is than anything you've ever touched, owned, or seen. Thomas, I know you're rolling your eyes because you know exactly what the fuck I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about.
Well, okay. I can kind of touch on that a little bit, because I think it ties in with both what Matt was just saying and what you're saying now, Marco, is because you look at the military, you look at police agencies, I'll take it back to, you know, the stuff that we know, Matt, and Marco, you're talking about our friendship with a certain person that, you know, is still kind of around, but not as close as we once were. And the competitiveness becomes detrimental at that point, right? So you take a group of people in the military, the paramilitary structure and the discipline that is imparted into these people, it is such that you can take a bunch of alphas, right? And you point them all in the same direction and you say, okay, you guys are all alphas. This guy is the leader though, right? And he's going to tell you who's in charge of what and what he says goes. Then you'll watch a bunch of alpha males step in line and get behind their leader because that's who they've been told is leading. The issues come when you have one of two things happen. One, you don't have a clear delineated leader, right? In which case, like your example, Matt, where you and I are working together with a group of 12 people, you and I know each other well enough, and you and I are the kind of personalities. We both know each other's strengths and weaknesses. We're both strong people. We're both alphas. We're going to divide up what needs to be done according to our skills and talents and abilities, and then we're going to lead that way. You're going to trust me to be in charge of the things I'm in charge of, and I'm going to trust you to be in charge of the things you're in charge of. And then we're going to meet up, give each other situation reports, and move forward to the next phase of whatever that thing we're doing is.
Right.
If you have too many chiefs and not enough Indians, then it's, you know, death by committee. You can't get anything done without a vote, and everybody likes their own idea better, and therefore no idea ever gets picked. You have to have small, you know, leadership. Other problem is when you have no leadership, zero leadership appointed, and then you take a bunch of alphas and watch them fight over who gets to be in charge, right?
Right.
Because there isn't anybody in charge. So instead of the, you know, the opposite of death by committee, now you have nothing getting done because the same, you know, I guess mechanism is that you have everybody fighting to be in charge so much that they don't actually get any tasks done, right? So I think the danger for those things, or I guess the situation you're talking about, Marco, is the person you're talking about capable of being comfortable enough in their own skin to say, hey, this situation doesn't require me to step up and take a leadership role. I will be a soldier. I will be, you know, a member of this team, and I will do my part because I trust the leadership of the group, as opposed to somebody who we are talking about who can't handle leadership above them and, you know, always has a better idea, which is an alpha. But like you were saying, Matt, that's a douchebag to some extent because they can't handle anybody else's good ideas or anybody else's leadership.
Right. Right. God, I just blanked. Marco.
Are you, because you're more laid back than I am.
Me?
You always have been. Marco.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Marco's always been more laid back than I am, but I wouldn't necessarily. Okay. Let me back it up this way then. Are betas capable of violence?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Good. That's, absolutely. I would agree. So, yes. So I think you can have a beta. Have an easygoing guy, have somebody who is not like super high strung, cutting edge, front of the team, loud. But damn it, when you go, hey, bro, I need you to come with me and beat this dude's ass because he stepped out of line. He's gonna go, okay,
we gotta go. I don't. You guys have known me, you know, for obviously we talked about this in the first, you know, episode. You guys have known me for forever, and you guys have known me that I'm not violent first. You know, I am the person that if shit needs to be talked out, you know, I'm more than happy to sit down and mediate between groups, between parties, and see both sides and talk it down. But if shit's gotta happen, shit's gotta happen. You know what I'm saying? Like for myself, like you guys are saying, it's like, yeah, I don't, I guess I walk softly, for the most part. I'll be the first to admit it. I walk softly. I walk calm. I try to sit back and really assess, you know, the situation as it's happening. Try to see both sides of the argument because the best way to get things to calm down or the best way for me to achieve a goal doesn't have to be a fight. The best way for me to achieve a goal is to see both sides of the opposition and recognize the strength in both and what's going to work together in both, and then try to merge those two together in a way that's going to create resolution. And resolution meaning to get the fucking job done, whether it's going to be to get a task done or to calm the situation down between two, you know, get cooler heads to prevail per se, whatever the case is. And that's just my personal strength. That's one of my, I think one of my character traits and my personal strength. Yeah. I've never been the one to rush forward and start swinging. But like you were saying, if shit's got to go down and they get a phone call and shit's got to go down, shit's got to go down. That's right. It.
So to think that betas aren't capable of violence is just as dumb as assuming that an alpha is not capable of following leadership.
That's correct.
Right. Right.
And assuming that an alpha, more important, I think it's more along the lines of assuming that an alpha is always going to swing first and ask questions later.
Yeah. You can be an alpha and lead people to, I'll give you a perfect example. You take somebody like, it takes World War II. I'm a big student of history. World War II, there were some famous generals. There was MacArthur, there was Patton, there was Eisenhower, there was Montgomery over, you know, in England. And when it came time for the leaders of the countries involved in the Allied powers to pick what they called, and this is the coolest title ever, the Supreme Allied Commander, right?
That's, ooh.
Anytime you get supreme in front of you, they picked General Eisenhower.
That's the start right there.
Right. And Patton was a son of a bitch, man. Tank commander extraordinaire. Montgomery was a badass general in his own right. You had all these generals that all were badasses in their own right. Do you know why they picked Eisenhower? Because Eisenhower could get all the other generals to get along. Mm. So I don't know. I didn't know Eisenhower personally. I've read his biography, but he was definitely a leader. But he was also a guy that could calm people down and get everybody to come to the table. And he could keep the egos of Patton and Montgomery in check and say, hey, I get it. I see where you are. But I also have other things to consider. And let's talk about this blah, 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 blah. So I don't think it is as simple in some cases as an alpha male and a beta male. But there are so many subtypes and douchebag is always a subtype, right?
Right. On both sides.
On both sides. So, you know, a douchebag beta is the guy that when he finds out that you and your girlfriend are having problems, even though you're not broken up, he's going to go over there and try and comfort her because he wants to be there when you break up to scoop in and try and get with her. That's a douchebag beta. That's a douchebag beta move. Right. A douchebag alpha move is to go up to your girlfriend while you're still with her and everything's fine and go, hey, leave that zero and get with me. You know, it's the same behavior. They're both trying to steal your girlfriend, but they just go about it in two completely different ways.
Right, right. And so, so moving forward, do you think the term alpha male is tainted from here on out because of where we are right now in 2020? As it is right now, because we're all in our 40s, so you know we're different. We're Gen X. You know, we're not any of this other hokey shit going on. But is the term alpha male is that tainted? Is this shirt that I'm wearing now this alpha male? If anybody wants this, you go to mastiff.com. We'll put a link in there. Whatever, support veterans. Is this shirt burned for me? Can I no longer go to the grocery store right now in 2020 wearing this shirt without, not that I care, but without thinking people are going to think that I'm a douchebag or I'm an asshole or I'm a prick or I'm a violent person or I'm looking for trouble or, oh, that's the guy to challenge to a fight. So is that term tainted?
A signal flare. I think that shirt is a signal flare. So you send up that signal flare by wearing that shirt, and the people that are going to take it as a positive thing are going to look at you and be like, "Yep, that's the dude right there. I could hang out with that guy." And the people that are going to be, you know, the women that look at my wife in disgust when she wears her throat punch shirt are going to be those people. And yeah, could it get tainted worse to the point where you can't wear it without looking like a freaking member of the Klan or something? It could, but I don't think we're there yet. I think there's still enough people that understand common sense and the nuance and the subtleties of what an alpha, because it's not, yours says alpha male. That's two different things, right? It's not one word. It's two words. Male right. describing your gender and alpha describing the type of male you are as a personality type. That's it. You're just describing your personality type on a shirt. The problem is that people are going to hijack that phrase. People are going to hijack that and just immediately rush to the guy's a douchebag. Well, okay, yeah. Great. Thanks for being a bigot.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think we should stop with the term racist and bring back the word bigot, because bigot,
it's a much better term.
It has nothing to do with race. It has to do with your preconceived notions about what somebody else is like based on a set of what you perceive are facts about them and their their physical appearance, their culture, their
It's quite literally judging books by their cover. I mean, it's the textbook definition.
Right. So I think we should just bring back the term bigot. We won't use racist on that on the show. We'll just use bigot because it's a much better word.
Yeah.
I think anybody who looks at that shirt and automatically assumes that you're a douchebag who prefers violence over, you know, intelligent conversation, that person's a bigot.
Agreed. And it's funny, you know, just going back on the shirt thing, especially like with your wife. You know, half of my closet is grunt style shirts. I mean, they're fun shirts. It's, you know, another veteran company that, you know, if I'm going to throw, you know, $20 for a t-shirt, I'd rather it go to, you know, some good people, you know?
Right. As Marco points to his grunt style logo on his. By the way, we're open to sponsorship grunt style.
Yeah. Yeah. We can be brand ambassadors.
Right.
But it's just funny that, like you said, like I'll wear some grunt style shirts and I'll get some nods of approval. You know, from some of the guys, like, yep, you know who you are, and some looks of like, you know, and it's getting to the point now where, you know, just having an American flag on your shirt is getting looks of disgust, which makes my blood boil. Makes my fucking blood boil.
That's a whole. But the American flag as a symbol of oppression and hatred versus a symbol of pride will be a topic on this show for sure.
Yeah, and just, you know, I've been going to the beach a lot lately. I've been three times this week, and LA County sheriffs patrol in their ATVs, and they go up and down. And I'm always wearing some sort of patriotic affiliated shirt, and it's just funny how even me looking like a scumbag for you know the tatted up. You know, neck, hands, just sleeves, you know, have that stereotypical look. The deputies will ride by and see me wearing a grunt style shirt or see my, you know, American flag patch on my bag and kind of just give that nod and that smile and like, yeah, you're one of the good guys. So it's a very interesting, dynamic that we're in right now. Just in the world and, you know, especially in this country or in this state.
But, yeah, no shit.
It's just really interesting where, you know, like you said, we're definitely gonna have to talk about, the American flag and what it represents and how people are taking it now. And that's all I got.
Well, I think that's a pretty good first topic. And please send us your emails again right now. I think we're going to do, locker, we'll do something like, you know, locker room specific for the email. We're still setting it up as Matt gets everything set up on his end. But for right now, just email us your questions at our War Stories email, which is mailbag.warstories@gmail.com. Or, you know what, hit us up on social media. If you want to send a question through Facebook Messenger to our Locker Room Podcast Facebook page, or if you want to send us a instant message to our DMs, slide it into them DMs on the Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, one of us, either myself or Matt, or hey, it might even be Marco, it might even be John. Somebody will answer you, and we'll see if we can't get your emails and stuff read on here. We'll probably do a couple of topics, and then we'll do like an email episode where we just discuss comments from listeners and viewers and stuff like that. And also let us know if you're interested in doing this live stream, because theoretically we could be live streaming this right now and you guys could be interacting with us, but you know, we don't want to do that unless there's like legitimate interest in it. So do you guys have anything in closing, whether it's about alphas, betas, or gammas, or deltas, or just what you had for breakfast?
Well, alpha males are not bad people all the time. That's what I want to say.
Alpha males are people too.
Alpha males are people too. Homework for everybody, especially people listening. I just found out there's also called an omega male. So there's, yeah, I know, right?
Really?
So, yeah, we won't get into that now because I need to do a little more digging. I just saw a little blurb about it, but there's the alpha males, beta males, and omega males.
Yeah, and so, I've heard a couple. There's now, so just so you know, there's five male
archetypes. Oh, there's five?
Five male archetypes. So we'll have to do a this is – now, again, I don't know who the hell wrote this, but it says the five – social and sexual archetypes of male hierarchy is alpha, sigma, beta, gamma, and omega. So clearly we have an affinity for the Greek alphabet, first of all.
Yes.
And I'll give you, let's see what our listeners think. Send us if you think you belong to one of these categories or if you think these categories are bullshit. Alpha is a self-assured leader of men whose swagger and aloofness makes him very successful with women. Ooh.
I like swagger.
The sigma is the lone wolf, the antithesis of the alpha, defies placement in the social hierarchy, yet is successful with women. So, so this is all just as it's based on your success with women. But let's do some research on alpha, sigma, beta, gamma, and omega, and we'll decide if those, if there's anything missing or if that's pretty much it. You have anything for us, Marco?
Yeah, don't be a douchebag.
Well, there's that too.
That's sound advice, no matter what.
Don't be a douchebag. That's it. Like in every application of life, when you go to work, don't be a douchebag. At home with your kids, don't be a douchebag.
Yeah, when everybody was posting like different I stand with this and that on their social media, I just put, I stand with everyone who isn't an asshole.
Yep.
I put, I stand with my local taco guy.
Well, I mean, they have the best stand. By the way, I just want to tell you officially, because, you know, since you've recently moved to Texas, my condolences on your loss of good Mexican food.
Oh, dude. Oh, my God. I mean, if you want to talk a topic for a different day, I'll just give you a little blurb. I'll give you a little blurb as we're closing down. We were having tacos, and for the people at home, you know, that are listening and not watching this,
yeah, those are some quotation figures.
Figures up in the air. We're having like good tacos, which everything out here is Tex-Mex. There are a lot of taquerias. There are a lot of like actual real taco stands, but you got to fucking find them. Like they're not just out everywhere. So, anyways, hunt. Yeah. And we've still been hunting for a good carne asada. That just they have a whole different get down over here. We'll get into that later. At work, I was like, you know, somebody said, oh, I bet you this is nothing like you have at home or you have back in L.A. I was like, no, this is nothing. Like, no, when you get a taco in L.A. is, you know, little corn tortilla, delicious meat.
Cilantro onion. Maybe red splash, or green sauce.
That's it. A little splash of salsa, and that's all you need because this shit's really good. And one of the homies at work was like, where's the queso? And I was like, well, fucking what fucking queso are you talking about?
Wait, I want to say I did have a taco altering experience by putting, so it's funny. I have a friend of mine from Belize, and maybe we'll get him on here. I invited him and his lady over for tacos, and you know, me being Scots-Irish and Russian, and I'm inviting this Belizean friend over for tacos, and he's like, oh God. Oh no. And so he comes over and I've got the grill out and I've got a big flank of carne asada and I've got a cast iron skillet with al pastor going and he walks in, he sees the little corn tortilla, you know, the little 4-inch corn tortillas and shit. And he's like, oh, you're making tacos. And I said, yeah, what'd you think? And he goes, oh dude, you said you were inviting me over for tacos. I was picturing ground beef and a shell.
Oh,
and I was like, oh no, my friend, no, I was raised by plenty of Hispanic families. My brother, who was a chef, he had come over and we were working on some recipes and stuff, and he brought out the cotija cheese,
which, oh yeah,
if you don't know what cotija cheese is, it's the Parmesan cheese of the Hispanic Mexico food world.
Yeah,
and fantastic. So a little crumbled cotija on a street taco, life-changing.
Oh, okay.
It's salty. It's a whole different thing. It's salty. It's salty when it melts into the carne. It's a little creamy, but it's yeah, it definitely brings a whole different, like, almost umami flavor to the tacos. It's so good. But anyways, I mentioned to them, like, you know, there's no queso, and they're like, what do you mean there's no queso? I'm like, I hate to tell you this, but if you've never been out of fucking Texas, you know what I'm saying, or like New Mexico or Colorado, there's no fucking there's no queso in both of the both of the coasts.
Yeah, isn't queso just code for Velveeta?
It's essentially it's fucking Velveeta and like the Rotel,
The Tostitos, like when you get it in the glass jar at the supermarket, it's Cheese Whiz and diced onion, bell pepper, and tomato.
So, like, queso out here is basically, if you can imagine, the restaurant homemade version of that dipping shit you get at Tostitos. Right. So some of it's bomb as hell, but no, yeah, they're like, no lettuce, no cheese, no queso. I'm like, I'm done with this conversation. Like, I'm, anyway, yeah. I don't even understand. I'm still trying to find a fucking elote out here.
Those are taco betas.
Oh yeah,
taco betas. Oh my god. Okay, and I think that with that is a
full circle,
good,
ladies and gentlemen. Note,
yeah, full there circle. We go. Brought it back around. I was wondering. I was almost going to do the code. The little bunny rabbit ears going across the.
All right. Well, as always, we sign off every episode by reminding you that you're a man.
Act like it.